Take your scriptures now. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're reading now verses 17 through 40. Verses 17 through the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Hear now the words of the living and true God. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able, also become free. Rather, do that. For he who has called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I have an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. And those who weep as though they did not weep. And those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. And those who buy as those they did not possess. As though they did not possess. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will, and has decided this in his own heart to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. So then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think that I also have the Spirit of God. Thus far in God's Word. So verses 17 through 24, Paul's urging there the Corinthian Christians to remain married if they were already married when God called them to himself, and if they're already married at the current time. And if they were not married, to remain not married as they were when God called them. Of course, with that, there is an exception, which we heard before, previously, that if you don't have self-control, if you have a burning, you're burning with passion, struggling with sexual immorality, then of course, be married. Paul's not going against that. But he is saying that just because you are now a Christian doesn't mean that you have to now get divorced or that you have to now get married. No, you are to stay in that calling that you have been called to. For just as Christ has freed you from the bondage of slavery to sin unto holiness, don't therefore now change and live as a slave to sin. And as they are not to change their status, in this he urges those who are single, he actually uses the word virgins, because if they're not virgins, then clearly there is a burning of passion, a lack of self-control. So virgins, he instructs here. And Paul's opinion, that he says this is his opinion, is actually the Lord's command, because it is found in the Word of God. And he says to those virgins that if you're one who has no struggle with sexual immorality, there's no burning with passion, then do not feel constrained to immediately pursue marriage. Verse 27. Are you bound to a wife? If you are, don't seek to be released. If you have no wife, and at least for now, for the current time of Paul's situation, the current time in that status, then do not seek one. If there is no self-control problems, then don't feel the need to seek a spouse at this current time. If you marry, though, you have not sinned. And if you remain, if you as a virgin marry, it is not a sin. It is a good thing. And why is Paul going into this? That a virgin doesn't have to marry? Because of verse 32. Those of you who are married can attest to what Paul says here. One who is unmarried is concerned and should be concerned, single people. So if you're single, you're child, you should be concerned, the unmarried should be concerned about the things of the Lord. And only the things of the Lord. How they may please Him. But the one who is married is often concerned with the things of this world. How they may please, how he may please his wife. Or she may please her husband. And so in that, because you're trying to please your wife as God commands you, your interests are divided. Because it's hard to please your wife. It's hard to please your husband. And so a complete devotion to the Lord is very difficult. And so your interests become divided because you come to a point where you're trying to please your husband, not trying to please your wife, and you're forgetting about the Lord. Or you're trying to please the Lord and follow Him and be devoted to Him, and yet you have this spouse who's taking your time and energy away from the Lord in some sense. And so there's a distraction. That is a struggle. Verse 34, the interests are divided. It says the woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. You notice it's not just the spirit or the soul. It's the body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And so, beloved, if you're a virgin, struggling not with a lack of self-control, struggling not with sexual immorality, then verse 35, he says, this is for your benefit. So you won't be restrained, but only to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. You should be pursuing undistracted devotion to the Lord. That's a good thing. You should look at verses 36 to 38, instructions for a father and giving his daughter in marriage. It shows that same principle taught in the Song of Songs, that the daughters there ought not to get their emotions all riled up before it's the proper time. Wrapped up into someone until the right time, until your father, with the help of your mother to him, as she is his helper, as they determine that it is good for you to marry. You don't get your emotions wrapped up in someone until your parents say, yeah, we approve of the marriage. We say, we show you, we see that this is a good thing. This person that you're wanting to marry is a holy person, a righteous person, a godly person. And they would be good for you. That theme that's taught throughout the scriptures, we investigated it when we were in Genesis. But not just the Old Testament, it's in all of scripture, that principle, not only with, with Abraham when he was trying to find a wife for Isaac, but we see it throughout scripture, the parents intimately involved, totally contrary to our culture today. The parents intimately involved in the process of finding a spouse for their daughter, or even for son. And we saw with Rebecca, I think it was Rebecca, that she still approved of marrying the one she was to marry. Verse 39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if he dies, she is free to remarry. Doesn't have to remarry. Paul would probably encourage them, as he does here, not to marry, but she is free to remarry. And who should she marry? Only those, it says, in the Lord. And that's a principle throughout all about marriage. Any marriage, that you, whether your spouse has died, you've been married, and now your spouse has died, or you have never been married. You are only to marry in the Lord. Only those who are God's people. Only those saved by Jesus Christ. And so instructions here, we find further instructions about marriage and then remaining unmarried if you're not burning with passion, not struggling with sexual immorality, that it's actually a good thing. It can be a good thing. So your devotion to the Lord. And yet it's not wrong to get married. After all, we know Genesis, it says it's not good for man to be alone. And so we have these, God has presented us with options and yet clearly guided them, hasn't He? Because there's exceptions to, we might say, the rule. As we think about these things, let's pray to our God. Our Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture. We understand that everything here is can be confusing. It seems to, for some of us, be a struggle. And so, Father, we ask that You would give clarity, light, into our hearts and minds, which are clouded with sin and struggle and temptation. Father, we ask that You, if there are any here who are burning with passion or struggling with sexual immorality, who are unmarried, that You would provide a spouse for them. Quickly. That they would, in that marriage, not struggle any longer. Father, if there's any here who are married and struggling with these things, we ask that their spouse and them would pursue each other and know each other with that knowledge that we see with Adam and Eve in the garden, or as they knew each other. Father, we ask that You would bless Your people. And these things give wisdom. In each individual life, there's often questions about, especially for those who are single and not married, we know there's often questions about how to pursue marriage, if we should. And Father, we ask that You would give us wisdom in these things. That You would make clear what we ought to do. That You would enable for all of us to devote ourselves to the Lord. Even in our marriages, that we would work together in our marriages towards our devoting ourselves to You and serving You and worshiping You together. That wives would be a great help in this. And husbands would rule well and lead their families in Your word. And Father, we understand that These things can be a great struggle for us, especially in our culture. As the same culture as they had in Corinth, very similar anyway, people in public sexual immorality all over the place. We can see it all the time, as they could hear. So, Father, preserve us from sin and immorality. Guide us by the truth of your word and by your spirit. Keep us from the evil one and from sin and death. That such sins that we commit that are sexual, Father, we often know are often the most heinous sins, and often the ones we feel the most guilty about, and often the ones that bring a great grief in our hearts. Father, forgive us of such sins. And turn us unto your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord, who can defeat sin, who has defeated sin, that we would live in him, holy lives, righteous unto you. Let us not be slaves to sin, but slaves to Jesus, slaves to righteousness. For Christ's sake, we pray in his name. Amen.